We're starting a new series tonight. It's actually a theological study, Serving the Lord by Means of the Holy Spirit. And our first lesson is Introduction to Spiritual Gifts. Every believer has been equipped by the Holy Spirit for Christian service with a supernatural enabling called a spiritual gift, or translates the Greek word charisma. Thus, every believer should use that spiritual gift in serving the Lord in Christian service. We're actually commanded to do that in 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. However, many believers are not sure what their gift is nor how to begin to use it effectively. So we view Scripture on the introduction to this subject, viewing the definition, the identification, the distribution, and the development of one's spiritual gift for our insight, application, and edification. Since this is a theological study, we're going to be in a lot of different Scriptures, but I thought I would just, by way of introduction, just to read one significant one. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to start reading at verse 3 and go to verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 to 7. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unhypocritical faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee into remembrance, that you fan into flame, or that you rekindle the gift of God which is in you, in association with the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound or a logical mind. Okay, by definition, a spiritual gift is a God-given ability for service. It is not a place for ministry, nor is it a person to whom it is given by God, although God gives gifted people to the church. Nor is it the specialty of ministry like a teacher or a deacon, like an office. It's an ability. It's a supernatural ability. It's given to you at the point of salvation. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior here tonight, the moment you were saved, you were given a supernatural ability to serve God. It's a supernatural ability that is needed because of the angelic conflict, because of weaknesses that we have as human beings and everything, but it's something that transcends human ability. Now, as for identifying one's spiritual gift, the Bible does not tell believers how to identify their gifts, but it assumes that they easily discern the gifts. That's something about the Bible. It does not say, now, this is how you get to find out your gift. It just assumes that you know. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 29 to 30, Paul says, not all speak in tongues, do they? That's the rhetorical the way to translate the verse. Not everybody does this, do they? Not everybody does this, do they? And so he expected people to know this off the top of their head, which tells us that the gifts are easily recognizable by people. And also, we know that God works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, according to Philippians 2:13. So there are two ways to discern your gift. First of all, the feedback they get from other Christians, because other Christians will tell you what you do that blesses them. And when you hear that over and over again, you hear it from men, you hear it from women, you hear it from young, old, you'll hear it from Christians in different places. That feedback that you get will tell you what your gift is. And then also, what also tells you what your gift is what you like to do. Because the Bible says in Philippians 2:13, God works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And if there's something that you really like to do, that's a very strong signal that that's your gift. And so I tell people, when they come to me and say, I really like to do that. I tried doing this. I absolutely loved it. I'm motivated through the roof. I say, it's probably your area of gift. Now, whether that is your gift or not, but you're certainly using your gift in that area. Now, the distribution of the gifts is the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the sole agent of their distribution. The spiritual gift that every believer has is not something that he or she receives from God by his or her own request, but God the Holy Spirit sovereignly distributes it to him at the believer's salvation. Now, this is where our charismatic brethren in Christ need to be corrected. The charismatics will pray for or seek to speak in tongues, have someone lay their hands on them, speak in tongues, or do something else. But 1 Corinthians 12:11 says that the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts as he wills. The gift that you have, the gift that I have, is not something that we selected. It's something that God selected for us, and he gave it to us because that's going to fit within the plan that of what he wants to do in the church. Now, the apostles were given multiple, if not all, the gifts. One is the apostle Paul. He's an apostle, but he also spoke in tongues more than all the Corinthians, according to 1 Corinthians 4:18. In fact, he says, I thank God I spoke in tongues more than you all. So that's probably why Paul could be such a good missionary. He could pick up the language, the Lord would give him the language, he'd just start speaking in the native language wherever he went. And he also healed a man, raising him from the dead in Acts chapter 29, verses 9 and 10. So he had the gift of healing, he also had the gift of tongues, he also had the gift of apostleship. So he probably had all of them. And a lot of Bible scholars believe that they had all the gifts, the apostles did. Where other believers have one gift. In 1 Peter 4:10, in the Greek it says, as each man has received a gift. Now the word a doesn't appear in Greek, in Arthrus, it doesn't have a definite article. So you put a in front of it. And the implication is as each person has received one gift. So the rest of us have one gift, one spiritual gift. Now, that variety of offices or a variety of functions in a church setting, there's no question about it. But it's a gift. Now, the spiritual gift that a believer has is in its scope as to time, nor as to geographical location. For instance, the gift of apostleship, which was given to Saul of Tarsus, is a gift to the entire church in all generations. And we still profit today from that gift given once in the first century. Similarly, the writings of deceased gifted believers down through the ages of church history are still profitable to us today, be they from a Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher in the London Tabernacle, or a Lewis Berry Chafer who started Dallas Seminary. Lewis Berry Chafer wrote a book, True Evangelism by Prayer. Dr. Chafer died the year I was born, so I never met him, never heard of him. But his book on me and my life, I've read it. And his book was approved by a Mr. Harley. And Mr. Harley knew Charles Haddon Spurgeon personally. And he said Charles Haddon Spurgeon would have agreed completely with Chafer's book on true evangelism, that all of us are very poor witnessers. That Charles Haddon Spurgeon recognized it, and he indicated we all need to rely upon the Spirit of God. Now, a believer's spiritual gift is a supernatural ability given by God. It can be used more effectively if the believer develops its use in his study of Scripture and practicing his gift as follows. A believer needs to minister in a way that he can use his gift instead of functioning without its use. This is a mistake some pastors get into, and this is a mistake some Christians get into, is when they start to try to minister, trying to copy what someone else is doing, rather than using the gift that God has given them. If you don't use the gift that you have been given by God, what happens is you're working just through human agency, human power. And you don't have supernatural power. If you stick, however, with the gift that God has given you, then you're operating with supernatural power, and the Holy Spirit will work through you in a very marvelous way. This is why Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, it comes out in the English Standard Version, Paul told Timothy to rekindle, anax purel, the spiritual gift, the charisma of God, to overcome a spirit of timidity that afflicted Timothy, while he served the Lord in the pastorate at Ephesus. For God had given him a spirit of power and love and self-control, not timidity. See, Timothy wasn't using his gift, and he was trying to pastor. And Ephesus was a large church, and there were some difficult people in that large church. And so Timothy was struggling with timidity. If he'd been using the spiritual gift that he had, he would have been working with spiritual power. and the Holy Spirit would have kept him from being in it. A similar command occurred in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, where Paul told Timothy to stop neglecting amelie. That's in the present imperative, but it has a may negative particle, which means stop an action that is currently in process. So stop neglecting the spiritual gift that was given him in conjunction with the laying on of hands of the elders, meaning that the elders at Timothy's ordination officially recognized his particular spiritual gift. So this is a reoccurring problem with Timothy. He had a tendency to get away from using the gift that God had given him, trying to copy maybe an Apollos or trying to copy what Paul was doing. You can't do that. You got to stick with the gift that you know God has given you. And that's very, very important. Now, obviously, this rekindling of spiritual gift involves not only using it, but using it in mental reliance on the Holy Spirit for power. However, in the realm of teaching, rekindling a gift also requires one's study of the Word of God. This is why in 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly handling the word of God. Now, in view of the many false teachers who have risen in church history, thorough Bible study and training is necessary in today's world to prepare the believer for teaching truth. I don't recommend anybody become a pastor unless you get some formal training, because I'll tell you what, and I'll use this in the closing illustration. The amount of error that is out there and the theological confusion that exists within Christians, it's huge. And you've got to know how to answer that, and you're going to have to get some formal training. Now, other spiritual gifts also involve practice and development, like the gift of administration that benefits from experience for gaining practical wisdom before one can function well in leadership. In other words, administration, you might have the gift of administration, but only as you get to work with people over a period of time do you become skilled in using that particular gift. So it's good to use that gift well before you become a leader. This is not to overlook the need to rely on the Holy Spirit to use one's gift, but as human beings, we need to gain the factual knowledge and expertise in organizing our thoughts for optimizing what the Holy Spirit can do through us. I thought of an illustration on this. David was permanently filled with the Holy Spirit by Samuel's anointing, and back in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. In fact, it said the Holy Spirit came on David in a mighty way from that day forward. However, a chapter later, 1 Samuel 17, 38 to 40, this is when he's getting ready to go out and fight Goliath. He refused to wear Saul's armor to fight Goliath since he'd not tested it. Now, he was controlled by the Spirit of God. He's filled with the Spirit of God. But he wasn't going to use armor that he hadn't tested. And he's going to go against a man who's been fighting since he was a youth. So what did David do? David used a shepherd's sling with which he had experience. Now, a shepherd's sling, David's shepherd's sling, was actually a superior weapon to a Goliath javelin, because that shepherd's sling, you could throw that stone, sling your weapon around like this, and they would release it at the top like this with full force, and David was running towards Goliath, probably coming more than 200 miles an hour. The stone, when it hits him in the face and the forehead, went into the brain, out the front. It's taken out like that, you fall down. For sure, I don't know if he was dead yet or not, but David then took his head and held it up, and then everybody knew that he won. But David did not. He used. He fought a battle line. He knew what he was doing. Salvation is given an easily identified supernatural ability for service, and he's to rely on the Holy Spirit to use it with power, with the training and the experience required to maximize its practical usefulness. So, may we rekindle our spiritual gift and train and practice it in accordance with Scripture for effectiveness. On Easter Sunday, after I preached this, and I'm fully expecting to interact with Christians and edify Christians, we just had this wonderful celebration about the resurrection of Christ, and all of a sudden, Some of the men in the church brought me a fellow who looked like he was from Bangladesh or India or something, obviously a foreigner. And he was dressed, I think, like a Muslim in dress clothes. He had white on and his buttons were white and everything. But he had a Bible with him. And he said, "This man wants to see the pastor." And he asked me, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "Yes." He says, "I got some questions to ask you." I said, "Okay." So he says, "Now, this is Easter Sunday. You just..." I said, "Well, Easter is actually borrowed from paganism, but we're celebrating Resurrection Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ." "Okay." But then he said, "You say that he died on Friday and he rose on Sunday," and I knew exactly where he was going. You know, where Christ had predicted 3 days and three nights in the tomb and everything, I knew what he was going to kind of both. So I said, "Well, what the Jews did is if you were talking about consecutive days, if you had any part of any day, you had to include the entire day. So when Jesus died on Friday, you had to include the day and night of Friday, the day and night of Saturday, the day and night of Sunday. We'd never heard such a thing." So he decided to try something else. He went to Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, where it talks about how Messiah is cut off. And then after Messiah is cut off, in verse 27, it talks about the prince that shall come shall make a treaty. And he thought that that was the Messiah. I said, "No, that's talking about the Antichrist." He said, "The Antichrist?" I said, "Yep, that's the Antichrist." "Oh, I never heard of that." And he said, "Well, can you recommend a book that I would have?" I said, "Yeah, Harold Honer, Chronological Aspects of the Life of Christ." I said, "He went to Cambridge University." He was one of my profs at Dallas Center. He went to Cambridge University. So he had one of these cell phones, and he was, you know how they write it down real quick. I don't know how they can do it, but anyway, he was writing it down. And I said, "You can find it on Amazon. Amazon.com, you can get it." So he said, "Okay." And then he went out. And at that point, I realized I was so grateful to the Lord. I'd sat under Dr. Honer in Dallas Seminary. I had his book. I have his book in my library. And because of that training, I was able to answer him. But it scares me how many pastors don't know the answer to that. And if they get tripped up, here you got a Muslim, I think, or a Hindu, who's on the aggressive trying to go after pastors. And if you can get the pastors to get messed up, then you can get the congregation messed up. So we need, if we're gifted in an area, we need to develop it and to get the training if we're going to go in that area. If we have a gift in any area, it's good to develop it and to get the experience, but really get to know what the Word of God says about it, because I tell you, we need to make sure that we are mobilizing as a church, because there's a lot of spiritual warfare out there.